so that no part of our message is left unrecorded. Anyone who would love to come on and share your blessings or ask for clarity. You know, there's something about sharing a blessing that magnifies it. Yeshua told us this when he said, when two or more are gathered in my name, I will be there. And love another as yourself. It magnifies your blessing. And so to present your blessings and even ask for clarification is usually something that someone else can benefit from. We have a lot of people who are shy, or maybe they're uncertain. But when you speak up, it helps them to say, you know, I did get that. And I experienced the same thing last week. I see Mary's on the call. Hi, Mary.
Hey, Glenda. Hi, everyone. You know, I just wanted to say, Glenda, last week you ended our blessing call with a very simple but powerful statement. I wrote it down, and I've been looking at it all week, but you said at the end of the blessing, know that you've been blessed. And that just really resonated with me, and I just, on this Palm Sunday, I just want to say thank you so much. I've been on the call for 3 years. It's my absolute communion, and I just want to express my gratitude. So thank you so much.
Oh, you're so welcome, Mary. And, you know that you've been blessed. It's very similar, maybe not exactly the right words, but very similar to what Yeshua would say always after he would offer a miracle or a blessing to someone. He would really tell them to acknowledge the blessing. Because in acknowledging the blessing, we enter into an agreement with God that, yes, indeed, we have been blessed. And there's nothing like an agreement to solidify a reality. So often we spend our life agreeing with the negative things that happen to us and saying, well, I'm not sure about all the positive things. Isn't that true, Mary? Haven't you experienced that?
That's very, very true, and thank you for that reminder, yes. And really, when you had said that last week, I thought, oh, my gosh, you know, every Sunday and more days, much more often now, but every Sunday, this incredible, powerful union occurs, and I'm so grateful, and it has become my church, and I sat with that for so long last week. I sat with, know that you've been blessed, and just like you're saying, really align with that and let it be my truth and feel it and claim it and honor it. So I really, really do honor this blessing and the fact that we all gather together each week. And yes, I agree completely. So just
yes,
thank
Mary,
you so much.
You're so precious, and thank you so much for saying that. And, you know, a very simple exercise we all could do is we could reverse our habit of being certain about the bad things and uncertain about the good things. Let's just practice that this week, every single one of you. Let's practice it. When something bad has happened, we'll say, well, you know, it could be bad, but we don't know yet. The jury's still out. There could be other good things. There could be good things that could come from it. In other words, let's be a little less than in total agreement about the bad things, okay? And then the good things that happen, let's say, yes, God has spoken. Yes, God is with me. This I will take into my truth. This has happened. Let's be certain of the good things and not quite so certain of the bad things. That's not a hard change to make, everybody. But really, this is what happens when people speak on the call. That's the contribution that Mary and others that I'm going to take, callers that are already lining up on the call. I'll be with you in just a minute. But I want to say that no matter what you ask, no matter what you say, you give others an opportunity for some degree of positive agreement. They can begin to say, well, you know, like that really did happen to me. You know, I think she's onto something. It helps to tighten the bow on top of a positive package. And this is what happens when we come together. When we celebrate the good things in our life and we share them and we find friends. I don't think there's any better friend than someone who will agree with you about the best things in your life. I mean, think about that for just a moment. Someone who will agree with you about the best things, the best opportunity, the best potential, the best attitude, the best creative result, the best in someone who sees the best in you, or not if in you. Maybe sometimes they are a little bit of the devil's advocate, and they might say, oh, Mary or Jane or Joe, you know, you really could be doing better. Maybe they sometimes have a little coaching twist. People do that, and sometimes with the best of interest. But they see the best for you, and they want to agree with it for you, on your behalf, and they actually see it done. There's no better friend than that, because they are creating with you that positive reality that you want to live. So we have a call from Kathy. Hi, Kathy.
Well, hi, Glenda. Hi, everyone. I'm just kind of laughing at myself because I'm in my car and I'm lost, and my question was about being lost. Because I feel like everything in my life right now is up in the air, and I don't know anything, and I'm lost, and I know intellectually and from past experience that means that I'm on the verge of being found or finding myself, however you want to say that. So it's also a very exciting time. And my question is, do I need to, in order to please surrender to being lost, do I need to be miserable about it? Because I don't feel miserable. I just feel very up in the air. But is that part of the surrender process? Am I resisting something in that? Do you know what I'm saying?
I know exactly what you're saying. And actually, Kathy, in a way, it could be worse. See, being lost means you haven't agreed to the negative things. You could solidify your life real quickly by agreeing to whatever negative has happened to you and saying, oh, yeah, oh, that was terrible. But instead, you're leaving it up in the air. So all you need to do is to find one little tiny thing, like a delicious apple. It could be tiny. I mean microscopic, and it's good. Agree to it. Agree with it. Agree how good it was for you. Agree how good a phone call was or somebody's idea. And it doesn't have to add up to the big picture.
Okay.
It doesn't have to bring all the answers right now. Just begin brick by brick. You know, when the bricklayer starts to lay the bricks, he doesn't see the building. All he sees are the bricks in front of him. And pretty soon he sees a wall. And then from one wall he sees another. Pretty soon he sees the building. Right now, be satisfied with brick to brick. As long as they're a brick you really want to agree with. Create that positive agreement. That's a vital part of creation, Kathy.
Okay. There are lots of bricks in front of me. That's wonderful.
So take the positive bricks. If you can't build a building with them, build a bird bath with them.
All right.
Okay? Just keep on building on something positive that you enjoy agreeing to, because agreement builds reality. And it's okay to be up in the air. I would much rather see you be up in the air in a flux. Actually, most of the most creative people right now are pretty up in the air because they don't want negative agreements. And yet it's premature to find big positive ones in a world going through this much change. Okay? So you're right on course, Kathy. And just keep on building those bricks.
All right, thank you.
Welcome. And I see Muriel, you're on.
Hi, Glenda.
Hi.
Blessed Palm Sunday.
Yes, indeed. A beautiful, wonderful Palm Sunday. And it's a gorgeous day. Most places certainly is here.
Yes. Glenda, I need a little bit of prayer. You know,
okay.
I'm going through a rough time right now, and I really need some prayer. I pray a lot, and I do the blessing every day. I need a little bit of help, okay?
You've got it.
Thank you.
Is there anyone else who'd like to speak? Okay. Then I just want to say a few words in celebration of Palm Sunday and the beginning of Holy Week, which is upon us, next week being Easter. I hope we can, I hope you'll remember to be on the call and celebrate Easter with us. That is one of the great events of blessing in the history of the world, where the very life of Yeshua was reclaimed into blessing for all time to lift the levels of reality on which we play out our life for all time. You know, sometimes we become, well, maybe we become a little paranoid about hell and a little fixated on heaven being somewhere else. But Yeshua was really pretty clear that there's a pretty smooth transition between life as we live it, heaven as we can live it, and hell as we descend into it even while living. And it doesn't take much time on the news to realize that there are pockets of hell being ventilated and dramatized and opened up around the world. And there are other people who find ways, no matter what, of cultivating extraordinary lives inside of ordinary experience. And so we see that there's a pretty smooth transition between the ordinary life of cause and effect, push, pull, give, take, up and down, you know, the event horizon of life, birth of children, passage of life and death, you know, the way we live it, but it can also be extraordinary. And what makes the difference is really all about the realities we choose to create inside the life we live. When Yeshua entered the gates of Jerusalem on Palm Sunday, well, a little less than 2,000 years ago, he was about 33. I could go into all the date history, but right now I'd rather just stick with generalities because that's not the point. The point is, as a man ripe and rich with the accomplishments of his spiritual mission, and living the prophecy of the saints and the prophets of old, he could have entered as a king. He could have created this external, palatial, supported sort of high-rise reality, entered in a carriage, or being carried in portage, or riding a horse. But aside from the fact that riding a horse would have seemed Roman, and being carried in portage would have just seemed like the elite of the Jewish people, he wanted to say by riding on a donkey, and actually a donkey was pretty well, you know, you were pretty well off if you had a donkey to ride in those days, I have to tell you. So he did not come in as a poor and bedraggled beggar. He was honored to ride on the donkey, but he chose a donkey because it was a reality that everyone could relate to. And he picked a common reality, and he allowed everyone to see that from inside this common reality, we can experience and create extraordinary events. We can unleash extraordinary potential within ourselves. We do not have to first have the extraordinary scaffolding here, like a corporate building, a well-funded bank account, an executive car, fine clothes. We don't have to have a lawyer in our pocket. We don't have to have the health of a titan. We don't have to have all the scaffolding of privilege before we can have an extraordinary event, an extraordinary experience, an extraordinary accomplishment. And as a matter of fact, if we look through the annals of history, human history, most extraordinary moments came within ordinary lives. Because it's within the ordinariness of our life. Not that we're meant to stay there. Don't get me wrong, I'm not an advocate of mediocrity. I think everyone is capable of living an extraordinary life. But I think it's really important to honor our roots, that we sprang from the earth, and yet we are children of God. And this is what the life of Yeshua was to remind us of, that we walk on the earth and we reach for the light. That from within a completely ordinary experience, there is extraordinary potential that we can either cultivate, we can surrender to allow, we can assist others in having and thus have ourselves, we can find agreements from others, we can cultivate it through creation. There's so many pathways. There's courage, there's charity, there's giving, there's dedication. There's so many virtues of extraordinariness. And that's really what I think this day symbolizes, that he entered the gates of Jerusalem as an ordinary man with extraordinary destiny, extraordinary potential, an extraordinary gift of love, of capability, and connection with God. But he entered the gates as an ordinary man to remind us that that same combination exists for every human being. And we each in our own way will tap into our extraordinariness uniquely. For some, it may be a great challenge requiring courage or heroism. For others, it may require surrender and service, dedication. For all of us, it requires some form of love. For some, it may be a visionary quest that we explore in a dedicated way to find new paths, new worlds, new opportunities. For some, it may be the missionary experience of seeing greatness in other people. For some, it may be a teacher that brings out extraordinariness in their students. This varies from person to person. What you will do with it is unique to you. And it may just be, and I actually, I want to remove that word just. It may be an extraordinary life of quietness, such as Henry David Thoreau lived on Walden Pond, but set as an example for how we can be extraordinary without requiring events to recognize or fulfill it. Much of the teachings of Lao Tzu would actually point in that direction. Many of the teachings of Buddha would point in that direction. We do not need an extraordinary event horizon to fulfill our extraordinariness as children of God. And you will do it somehow, some way, if you keep your attention on the positive agreements and hold your focus upon the good things that are happening, whether for you or others in the world or in human destiny or evolution, and then on all the negatives you say, well, maybe. Well, that could be. It's possible. It's all right to defend yourself and prepare for the worst as long as you don't believe in it. Focus upon the good. And do not hasten to judge yourself because of any ordinariness you perceive. Yeshua was constantly reminding himself to be ordinary, because only in that context would he discover and unleash the extraordinariness of the blessing he was bringing to this earth. So that is my special Palm Sunday message. And we've got a couple of minutes, but we got to make it quick. We've got Mara's on the call. Hi, Mara, you're on.
Okay, I'll hurry quickly. Last night I saw a documentary film that came out of I forget where it was, where the interviewer was from. But she interviewed five men from Jerusalem that were originally on the equivalent of our CIA agency in the United States. They told of many of the horrors that they had witnessed since 1964 of assassinations and killings, in fact, had been responsible for many of them, and began to question them. The end of the film, one man in particular, but they were all on this film, they had left this agency, and they were encouraging no more war. That we must, they said, Jerusalem must not fight with the Palestinians anymore. We must get our Israel. We must stop. And then they gave all the reasons why, that they thought it was unjust, it was immoral, it was unethical. I mean, everything. They listed it all. And one of them was, his wife was fearful for his life. However, they were very, very strong in their commitment. And I thought, what a gift. I mean, that's when you see that things really are happening. Mm-hmm. That people are learning from within themselves, from this source that you talk of all the time. And mm-hmm. What a blessing on this day.
Yes, Mara, and you know the value, the bigger value of what you say is to see the positive happening inside of real reality without having to use escapism, which
yes.
We have done so much of in the past.
Mm-hmm.
We have used heaven as an escape. We've used idealism as an escape. And what we need to do is to learn to reshape reality through positive determination, positive agreements, and positive conviction about the potential within us all.
Yes, and they talked a little bit about those things too, but also they the interviewer said, "What do you suggest we do?" And or that be done? And they said, "We have been talking to the Palestinians. They are fathers, brothers, mothers, children." He said, "We should be talking and talking and talking and not stop talking."
Very good. Very good. Thank you. Thank you, Mara, and happy Palm Sunday.
And you too. Thank you.
You're welcome. We stacked up a few more callers while Mara, that was a very juicy conversation, and I may have to ask some of you to come on next week, and we'll finish this call, but I'll take Mary Percy. Mary, if you can be quick.
I can be quick, Linda. Thank you very much for your beautiful message today. It really touched my heart, and I want to say that this forum is such a blessing for me, and I just have one request. I would like to have prayers or the blessing before my son, Jeremy. He's going through some difficult times right now, and I would just like to make that request. And
thank you
very much.
We sure will, Barry. It's Jeremy.
Jeremy, uh-huh.
Okay. I'm going to open we have two other callers, and I will open the line if you have a prayer request. Otherwise, if you've got a comment, let's get you back online next week, okay? Because we do need to move on into the blessing. So both of the lines are open. And if you do have a prayer request, please speak up. Otherwise, the reason I try to make this as prompt as possible is because we have people around the world who perhaps cannot afford to be on the call for the blessing. And so they're sitting waiting for the conveyance of the blessing on their own front porch, their living room, or a park, or where have you. And I like to be there for them. So we'll just sign off for now. And we're going to put this on mute. And everyone, please take your seats. If you're new to the call, remove your shoes and socks. Have your feet on the floor. The ground, if the weather permits, because we draw up energy from the earth. Remember, we are children of the earth as well as children of God. We have our head pointed toward the heavens to draw in from the force of gravity and all the other forces of energy from the sun and the cosmos, all of the energy it has to offer. The Holy Spirit will move down through the top of the crown of your head into your heart. Yeshua will meet you in your heart. The energy flows down, swirls through your heart, into your feet and the earth, and then back up through your heart and up to heaven, and then back and forth several times, just as it would flow through an electrical wire, back and forth, each time having a deeper, more powerful connection in the heart, which is why I ask all of the recipients to now cease your thinking, because that's in your head, and allow your attention to fall into your heart, where you simply pray and pray the prayer of your heart, whatever is important to you, whatever is meaningful to you, whatever is in your heart at this moment, in whatever way you pray, just be there. I will say an invocation to Yeshua, and then the blessing givers will join me in conveying this energy, as we are just antennas for the gifts of God, the Holy Spirit, and Yeshua. Dear Yeshua, we so thank you for joining us each Sunday, offering your heart, your love, your sympathy, your compassion, your encouragement, your enlightenment, all that you have to offer to bring forth in us the extraordinariness that we are, and yet respecting the path that we walk as human beings on this earth, sometimes getting stones in our shoe, sometimes stumbling, sometimes stumbling backwards and hitting a cactus. It all happens. It all happens to the best of us. It happened to you, and you let us see it happen to you. that we may know that our life is not limited by these conditional experiences. For inside of us is unconditional potential that was given to us from the beginning of time by God the Father and nurtured always by the power of love and the Holy Spirit. We ask that you bless those who are alone, those who are disturbed or confused, those who are ill, those who just need a big spiritual hug of love. We pray that you give it to them and allow them to know and agree with the fact that they have been blessed. And now I ask that you be with all of our blessing givers as they, in their dedicated way, assist you in offering this special spiritual communion to all those who seek to receive. Amen. The energetic part of your blessing is now complete. And your next step is to go and rest. Don't think. Just find a place where you can recline and rest. Lie down if possible. It doesn't matter if you fall asleep, but rest and assimilate for at least 7 minutes. Allow your body, heart, and soul to recognize that it has been blessed, to know that you are loved and that the gifts of God have been given to you. Receive, take into your being, and be restored. You are very loved, and I look forward to seeing you next week for our Easter blessing. Bye-bye for now.